Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A remarkable exhibit of book art is on display at the Mills Gallery at Central College. What's book art and how is it done? Let's go in-depth with artist Peggy Johnston of Des Moines. So, Peggy, you do book art.
Yes.
What's book art?
Well, it's art using books or the book form or dealing with books some way or another.
I see, looking around, it's a quite an amazing exhibit. You've got some books that you've changed their sculptural form, and then you also create books?
Yes. Now, some of the ones, like this little one here, is made from a book, an existing book, an old book that I cut down on a cutter and then folded and manipulated it until it became a little organic form. And these little finials coming out of the top are actually cut out of a pop bottle, a water bottle.
Oh, okay, sure. I didn't notice that until you said
that.
And
that had been sanded. So it's all recycled. Everything there is recycled.
Okay, and you turned it into a form, I don't even know how to describe it, two cones?
Pods. Pods
intertwined?
Yeah.
Okay, and here's something that looks almost like a pot, a book that you turned into a pot. Other books just, I don't know, you take their basic form and you add some things to them and they become just, they shift from a book on the shelf to a sculpture, is that right?
Sort of. And this, I had a bunch of ovals, and I stained them with teas,
okay.
Various teas, and then folded them, punched them, folded them all up and sewed them together in a traditional book binding called Coptic. And then I just sewed the two ends together so that it became this ovoid spherical shape. Then I put on, these are traditional end bands, which are the head and tail of books. Only I did four to make this fluting at the top and then added the beads as embellishment. So this was created with raw materials. It's not a pre-existing book that I altered.
Okay.
This one is an altered book.
Okay, but I couldn't necessarily tell if that was a book or not before. You're using the bookmaking process
exactly.
To create something book-like that's a
It is a book.
Art.
It is a book. It's a book. It's got pages. It's got a spine in there. So it's using traditional binding techniques. I'm just exaggerating, like the spine on that's probably 4 inches thick.
Sure, okay.
Before it got bent around back on itself. So it's like an inside-out book.
Okay. All right, looks exactly like that. And then you've got some with just pages and some with beautiful covers that I presume are painted in some way.
Well, are you talking about that green one?
Yeah.
That's handmade paper. It was cast over odds and ends of stuff in a vacuum press, and the paper pulp was already that color green.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then inside that, it's got pages of handmade paper and just some found text that was enlarged out of an old book from another project. So it doesn't really say anything, but the text was from a book called The Maid of Gostark. So that's what the title of the book is.
Okay, so it's rectangular. Well, let's go a little bit closer. I don't know, it looks almost like a vase with stuff, with paper stuffed in it. Oh, and it opens?
Yeah, it's like a box, kind of.
Okay.
So now it looks like a book to you, right?
All right.
And with a couple of flaps.
All handmade paper inside.
Not the copies.
Not the copies.
Not the found text. That's not. But the rest of it is.
Well, that's a lot of work to do the paper.
I didn't make
the paper, right?
I didn't make it.
But somebody did.
Yes. But I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
It's too hard.
It is. I mean, I'm just imagining the hours of work that goes into this.
That's true. And I've made paper, and it's so labor-intensive that I don't want to use it. And besides, when I was making it, I only made one kind. Mm-hmm. And it's so much more fun to buy other people's paper because it's different. So.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with book artist Peggy Johnston.
Well, I had a friend in college that made paper, and I must admit, you know, many years ago, I thought, why would you make paper? I mean, you just go, you buy paper, right?
Oh, yes and no.
Well, because it's, if you make it, it's an art form, huh?
Exactly. And a science.
Well, explain the papermaking process.
Well, first you have to grow some mulberry bushes. Then you have to get them big enough that you can peel off the bark. Then you have to soak the bark and beat it to a pulp, and it has to be done in the cold. And then when it's finally to a pulp where it can be made into paper, then you have vats of water and big screens, and you throw the pulp in this vat, stir it all up, and then you dive in with the screen and lift it up and shake it just right, and then you let it drain a little, and then you have to cooch it, which means taking it off the screen onto a felt, and then you make a big stack of those felt in between each sheet. Then that all goes into a press to squeeze out all the water. Then it has to dry. And it's humid here, so.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It has to dry, and then you cut it to the shape you want?
You could, or you just use it. I mean, you can make it in standard sizes.
Oh, you can.
Now, this, I did make this paper.
Okay.
For my little Mirchen. And this is overbeaten flax, which is what linen fabric is made from. And it's translucent, and it shrinks a lot as it dries, this particular paper, because it's beaten so that the fibers are really tiny. And it took me half the summer to make this much paper, because the only way I could do it was because I got rid of all my papermaking gear. So I put down an embroidery hoop on my patio table on one of those silicone baking pads and dumped the pulp in, and then just had to wait for it to dry. And so I didn't press it or anything. I just had to wait for it to dry, which took a couple of days. And I could do two at a time, so you can imagine it took weeks fooling around with that.
Weeks and weeks and weeks to... It took... this is, I don't know, what, 100... 200 pieces?
Maybe 50. They're circles that are folded in quarters.
Oh, okay.
So there is a fourth less sheets than it looks like, really.
And you're touching it. I can touch it. You can touch it.
I can touch it because it's mine, but no, I'd rather other people didn't.
Sure, I wouldn't have thought about touching it.
But it was months before I figured out what to do with the paper. Uh-huh. I didn't know what I was going to do with it.
And then you turned it into this remarkable creature.
Yeah. These are taxidermy fish eyes on there.
Okay. And it's looking like a meerchin. What's a meerchin?
I don't know. I thought it looked part urchin and part like a meerkat.
Okay.
Because of those eyes.
All right. Would you touch that again so people can hear it? Yeah, pretty neat.
These are taxidermy fish eyes. And this little head is actually paper mache'd over a philodendron stem that I found in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You brought it all the way here to use it?
I did.
Because you saw that head, you saw its potential, its artistic potential.
Well, I accumulate stuff and then get ideas later. But they were just so cool because the philodendrons we have here, you know, they're little house plants, but in Florida they're trees. Mm-hmm. So when they lose all their leaves and then the stem falls down on the ground, it's a couple of feet long with this great big this is the part where it attached to the stem or the trunk of the tree, this part. And the leaves would have been at the other end.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with book artist Peggy Johnston.
Well, what's this right next to it? That isn't paper, and that's copper plating, right?
This is copper.
It's still a book. Oh, listen to that.
This one was, I did a public art project a long time ago when we first moved here to Des Moines to the Two Rivers Festival. And that's not that was a different thing than the Two Rivers many people think of now. But I had called the Wishing Wall. And we made this big frame with strings on it, and I had all these long strips of paper where people could come by and write their wishes and then attach them to this framework and let them flap in the breeze and carry their wishes off to be granted or something like that. And there were such great wishes that I decided to save them all and put them in a book. So I wrote them in here. And some of them were really, really good wishes, like, you know, there's a usual, I wish for peace in the world, and I wish no one would go hungry. And then there's, I want to be king of the world so I can have anything I want. Or, I wish I had all the Barbies. Or, I wish I had a friend. You know, just some of them were heartbreaking, but a lot of them were. So anyway, that's what.
They're like, and they're little copper leaves.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope people don't think that, hearing these sounds, that it's okay to come in and do that.
Oh, our listeners wouldn't do that.
I would think not.
Well, okay, well, what else do you think our listeners would like to hear about?
Well, this one's kind of interesting, the spiny column. This one...
Are those porcupine quills?
Yes, they are, porcupine quills. So this is another altered book, and I folded it that way because I wanted to have some of that gilded edge on the pages showing. And then I wanted a finial. It needed something more, so it needed a finial. So first I put in...
What's a finial?
Just the top knot. Okay. The bicycle spokes helped, but it wasn't enough. So then I thought, porcupine quills. And I don't remember why originally I literally pulled porcupine quills out of roadkill. But I had an idea, and then I forgot what it was, but I used them on this. And I did clip off all the barbs, so...
Well, but what's interesting is the porcupine quills, if people haven't seen them, unless you bleach them or something, they're white with brown tips, and the same kind of thing is replicated in the book with the gold edges.
Yeah.
That was your purpose.
No, I didn't think of that at all, actually.
Well, it works very well. It integrates
does,
the whole piece.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is called Mollusk.
Mollusk.
And I have to adjust that still, but that one
the pearl.
Is... My hands were numb because I cut all of those ovals out of paper. And then I spattered it, some of it, with various dyes, and then sewed it. But I don't know how many I cut, but my thumb was numb for several months after cutting all those.
So how long did it take to make that, you think?
Days.
Days is all?
Well, hours, I don't know. A long time.
Weeks, months.
No, this one over here took longer. But this took, I did the cutting while I was watching TV. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were watching a movie or something. And then I'd lay them out and sprinkle them with the dye. And then the sewing probably, that's probably 5 or 6 hours of sewing. And then the end band on the top where the pearl and the curlicue, that was probably another 3 or 4 hours. So, you know, it's a lot of time.
Well, and did the image come full-blown to you, or did you start working with the material and it just sort of emerged?
That's what happens. I don't control my art. It controls me. I have, a lot of times, no idea what I'm going to end up with. None.
You just start fiddling? And
yeah, well, sometimes things just happen, because I was making... I don't remember what exactly. It wasn't originally going to look like this. And then it did it. And then I decided that's how it had to be. That's so inarticulate. But
well, it came a lot. The materials came alive and chose its
exactly.
Shape.
Exactly. Yeah. That happened with some of these, the echinate. I had the ovals, and then I suddenly got the idea. Well, first I had made a round book out of laboratory filter paper. And then I thought, oh, what other shapes can I use? And I had all these ovals. I probably had them for 30 years. They were die cut out of something from a printing place where my aunt worked in Denver. And she would give me paper. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I wasn't doing books. I was doing silkscreen. But,
So that waited 30 years for you to discover it.
In the other room, there's the star coral mini installation. And those were a bunch of die-cut red circles that I had a huge box full. And I was just getting rid of them, throwing them in collage packets or whatever. And then I got the idea for that, and I didn't have enough red circles left to do an odd number of those star corals. Because I got rid of it too fast. And I'd had that for probably 30 or 40 years.
Wow. Wow, and so you're in the Mills Gallery until when?
March 14th, right when spring break starts. whenever that is, but I think it's the 14th.
Okay, so lots of time for people to come in and look at this. It's just remarkable sculptures out of paper and books. It's pretty neat.
Thanks.
What inspires you to do this?
Everything. The book is the best thing for art because it incorporates all the sciences, physics, engineering, math, chemistry, you know, all that. If you don't put it together right, it's not going to open or it's not going to shut. So you've got to have all that. Then there's the history of historic bindings and, you know, different ways of putting it together. There's poetry, there's drawing, painting, printing, calligraphy, music, light. You can add metalsmithing to it on the covers. You can add jewelry. I did a book recently for a church where I embedded a dichroic glass cross in the cover of ebonized walnut. And, you know, just so many things you can bring together into this wonderful, intimate little package. And besides, sewing paper together, there's just something about that that is so cool, because you wouldn't think you could sew paper and thread and make something as sturdy as many of these pieces are.
And it's beautiful.
Thanks.
Thanks to Peggy Johnston for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.